issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues, Etc. on Friday, November 2nd and Saturday, November 3rd, and we want to play your answer. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues, Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Our words have creative power. Whenever we speak something, either good or bad, we give life to what we're saying. Too many people say negative things about themselves, about their families, and about their futures.
That's how Joel Osteen introduces his latest book, bound to be a bestseller, called I Declare. And in Joel Osteen's last books, he has set a pattern for his readers and ultimately for those who watch him on television or on the internet, and the many, many who see him every Sunday at his megachurch in Houston, Texas, Lakewood in Houston, Texas. He's setting a pattern there, and that is you decide, and your words determine what your life is going to be. I think that's about as simple as Joel's message gets. So speak good, you get good. Speak bad, you get bad. Is it just positive thinking, or is there something theologically seriously wrong with Joel Osteen's teachings? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jeremy Rohde joins us to do a review of Joel Osteen's new book, I Declare. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Pastor Rohde, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Todd.
Joel will talk a lot about the promises of God. Is he right when he says, at least in this sense, that God makes and keeps his promises?
God does indeed make and keep his promises. In fact, this is most who God is toward us, as he is the one that not only from Genesis 3, with his first promise to the serpent, that the seed of the woman would crush his head, he makes promises, and even if they take thousands of years to come true, they do indeed come true. And this is nothing less than what faith is to hold God to his promises, despite what we see with our eyes, to hold him to his word, even when what we are experiencing is contrary to his promises.
What's your bottom line concern about a book like Joel Osteen's I Declare?
Well, several bottom line concerns, but maybe I'll make this point first, that the promises God makes and the promises that we are to hold him to need to be found in his word. And that's one of the things that Joel Osteen teaches in his book, is that God seems to make individualized promises to individual people and does this in a way outside of his holy scripture. Now, with that, we can never be sure or certain that it is in fact God who is speaking, that it is in fact a promise of God spoken to us. So in that sense, we have a foundation that is not safe to build on. We have a word that is not sure and certain. Only those promises that he gives to us in Holy Scriptures, those are the promises that are for us, and those are the promises that we need to keep.
So in evaluating his teachings as a whole, as kind of emblematic in his latest book, I Declare, do you have concerns about a man who claims to be a pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States teaching what he teaches? If so, why?
Well, I think it would be easy to sit back and kind of take pot shots from every angle at Joel Osteen. What I would encourage us to do is think and look at Joel Osteen's book, his writings, his sermons, for what they really are and for what Joel Osteen is really doing. He's really engaged as a pastor in pastoral care. A pastor is charged with caring for souls, diagnosing the human condition, applying the right medicine from God's word, or as Jesus puts it, speaking repentance and the remission of sins in his name. And it's very similar or analogous to what medical doctors are expected to do. They're expected to get the diagnosis right and the cure right, and otherwise they're going to lose their license or get sued. And pastors ought to be held accountable in a similar way. In fact, pastors are held accountable, whether they know it or not. James says that those who teach will be judged more strictly. So here's one of the deeper concerns I have with Joel Osteen's work as pastoral care. And he does accept the title of pastor, and he does act as one. So what he writes and what he says ought to be held accountable to a standard of pastoral practice and care. So my questions are, does he see through the symptoms to the real underlying disease? Does he get the diagnosis of our human condition right? And then does he offer the right cure? Does he use God's word faithfully to address both the symptoms and, more importantly, the disease itself? Does he speak as Jesus commands his pastors to speak, words of repentance and words of forgiveness, so that God's word might create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us? And the excerpt we just heard at the beginning, Pastor Osteen summarizes his new book and gives his diagnosis of the problem. Too many people say negative things about themselves, about their families, about their futures. That's part of his diagnosis. And there's another helpful excerpt that comes just a little bit later, but still very early on in his book on page 9. That excerpt, basically, Osteen says this. He says, the reason many people don't see God's promises come to pass is because they become discouraged and give up too soon.
So what's wrong with that diagnosis?
So according to Osteen's diagnosis, the underlying disease or essential problem is a lack of blessings brought on by negative speech and negative thoughts. And we should note that he never actually calls this sin. Negative speech and negative thoughts are the problem. And if that's his diagnosis of our condition, then what is the cure that he offers? What is the Savior that he preaches?
Well, here is Joel Osteen proposing a cure.
Here's the key. You've got to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. You cannot talk defeat and expect to have victory. You can't talk lack and expect to have abundance. You will produce exactly what you say.
What is Pastor Osteen saying there?
Okay, so what's the cure that's being offered? What is the Savior that's being preached? The cure that Osteen sets forth over and over again is that you will produce what you say. So the proposed cure is for you to stop speaking negative things and start speaking positive things. And that's his title, I Declare. So what is the Savior, then, that is being preached? And here the Savior that is being preached is you. You will produce what you say, Joel tells us. You have the power to fix all your problems simply by the power of your own words. You are your own Savior. You've got to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. So if the essential problem is a lack of blessings brought on by negative thoughts and negative talk, then the cure you need is that you need to have positive thinking and positive speaking so that you can receive more blessings. And it's important to know, too, what blessings Osteen has in mind, material blessings. You need more money. You need physical healing. You need a job that's more fulfilling. According to Osteen's pastoral diagnosis, it's not your sin that's the real problem in your life. The real problem in your life is that you should have more material wealth and blessing than you have right now. So how do we evaluate Pastor Osteen's pastoral care? Does he get the diagnosis right? Does God's word teach us that our biggest problem is that we lack material blessings? Also then, does Pastor Osteen get the cure right? Does God's word teach that the cure you need is more positive thinking and positive declarations in your life? if you read through Osteen's book, you'll notice what's missing right away. And that's any explicit talk about sin, any explicit talk about Jesus being our Savior who dies to take away our sin. The central theme in God's Word, Christ and Him crucified, has been replaced with declarations that will supposedly make us more wealthy and successful. So for Osteen, the problem is not sin. So the answer or cure is not Jesus. If the problem is a lack of blessings brought on by negative thoughts and words, then what we really need is a gospel of getting good stuff. And that's what Pastor Osteen provides for us. It just so happens that that tickles our ears. We all love to hear about getting good stuff. In fact, we'll see in just a minute that Osteen's way of theology is that he actually ends up editing Jesus out of the scriptures in order to replace him with material blessings, or what Jesus himself calls mammon. So on final analysis, I think that this is the deepest problem with Joel Osteen's book, and that's that he's wrong on the diagnosis, he's wrong on the cure. And again, if we compare this to a medical doctor, if he gets the diagnosis wrong and presents a cure that kills the patient, then he is guilty of malpractice. And so too, when a pastor gets the diagnosis wrong and presents a cure that is not only wrong, but ultimately leads to the death of faith and the eternal death of a soul, then he is also accountable, not only to men, but to God.
Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, I Declare, on this Friday afternoon, the 19th of October. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. When we come back, he mentioned editing Jesus out of Scripture. Now, this can happen very subtly. It can happen in a way that the reader or the listener in Joel Osteen's case may not notice. We'll give a couple examples from Joel Osteen's book, I Declare, of editing Jesus out.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Well, coming up in less than 2 weeks, we've got Issues Etc. 24. If you've never heard of this before, it's something we do every year. And it's a rather daunting task, but we've managed to pull it off several times. 4 hours of live issues, etc., starting Friday, November the 2nd at 3 p.m. Central and running through Saturday, November the 3rd at 3 p.m. Central. That's right. Live, 24 hours, issues, etc., with the best guests in two-hour blocks. We're going to take great topics covering the entire range of Christian and biblical theology in those 24 hours with some of our very best guests. Now, you can help us promote Issues, Etc. 24 by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. On the support page, you'll find both a promotional video for Issues, Etc. 24, and you can just share that via all the social media you have or email. And you can also print, and it's right there at the top of the support page, you can print off the bulletin insert that can go into your church's bulletin this weekend and next weekend to tell everybody you know at church about Issues, Etc. 24. It's Friday afternoon starting at 3 p.m. November the 2nd through Saturday afternoon 3 p.m. November the 3rd, Issues, Etc. 24. And those times are central, by the way, 3 p.m. both days central time. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, I Declare. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. You mentioned before Jesus being edited out of Joel Osteen's treatment of Scripture. Here are a couple examples from the book, I Declare, where Jesus oddly makes no appearance.
When we were looking to renovate the former Compact Center in Houston so it could serve as the new Lakewood Church, our architects told us the project would cost millions more than we'd originally estimated. I was shocked by the figures they gave us. After I got up off the ground, I thought, that's impossible. I could never raise that much money. There's no way this will happen. The thoughts were there, but I knew better than to verbalize them. My attitude was, if I prophesy my future, I'm going to prophesy something good. I'm not going to say what I feel. I'm not going to say what it looks like. I'm going to say what God says about me. My declaration was, God is supplying all of our needs. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. This may seem impossible, but I know God can do the impossible.
So what's missing there, Pastor Rohde?
Well, if you look up Jehovah Jireh, linguistic issues aside, you'll find that it means the Lord will provide, and you'll also find that this is a specific reference to Genesis, to the story of God asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. If you read through the account in Genesis 22, you'll see very clearly that the Lord will provide has a very specific meaning. It does not mean that the Lord is providing Abraham with a promotion and a raise. It does not mean that the Lord will provide Isaac with a way to pay off his lavish credit card debt. The Lord will provide has a very specific meaning. He provides a ram so that it might be slaughtered in Isaac's place. What the Lord provides is a vicarious sacrifice. The ram will be slain so that Isaac might be saved. Now, Jesus himself teaches us what this passage means when he says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Jesus' forerunner, John the Baptist, calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Genesis 22, the Lord will provide means that the Lord will provide a ram to die in our place so that, like Isaac, we might be spared. Not a ram with his horns caught in a thicket, but a man with his head caught in a crown of thorns. That's what Genesis 22 is all about. That's what the Lord will provide is all about. But sadly for Joel Osteen, the Lord will provide has nothing at all to do with Jesus. The Lord will provide apparently means that he will get millions of dollars for his renovation of the Compact Center.
Here's another example of the missing Jesus from I Declare. Joel Osteen writes about the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 7.
I'm believing for explosive blessings. The Apostle Paul talked about this in Ephesians 1. He prayed that we would see the unlimited, immeasurable, surpassing greatness of God's favor. He was saying we would see favor like we've never seen it before. In the real world, it may look like you could never accomplish your dreams. You've already calculated how you'll never get out of debt. You've run all the numbers. But God is saying, you haven't seen my explosive blessings.
So what does Pastor Osteen want his reader to believe there, Pastor Rohde?
Well, it's a fascinating difference that I just noticed. As Osteen read that, I think he said Ephesians 1. Now, in his book, everything else is identical, but in his book, he writes Ephesians 2:7. So I'm not sure which is the corrective. Since his book says 2:7, that's what I went with. And here, it seems to make some sense. Osteen would have you believe that Ephesians 2:7, and maybe 1, I haven't looked at that, Paul is talking about overcoming financial debt and receiving other monetary blessings. But if you look at any reputable translation or the original Greek, you'll find that Paul actually says this in Ephesians 2. But God, who was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here is verse 7 of chapter 2. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So you see, Pastor Osteen not only misses a wonderful opportunity to speak about the great debt of our sins and how God has spared us through the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. Instead, Osteen has edited any talk of Jesus out. He's edited Jesus out altogether. And instead of mentioning the riches of God's grace and forgiveness like Paul does, he talks about plain old earthly riches. And what Jesus said is true for Joel Osteen. It's true for those who have been misled by Osteen. It's true for each and every one of us. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And by editing Jesus out, very sadly, Joel is showing us who he is serving.
Let's talk about the pastoral implications, as you like to refer to them, of Joel's teaching here. Here's what Joel says in terms of pastoral implications is for his reader, if they stay in faith.
What am I saying? God is directing every one of your steps. He has already lined up solutions to your problems. He has lined up the breaks you need. I want you to go out each day knowing that there is favor in your future. There is restoration in your future. There is healing in your future. There are good breaks right in front of you. If you'll stay in faith, you'll see favor that will make your life easier. God rewards those that seek after him. If you have been faithful, if you have given, if you have served, then God says your payday is on its way.
What little word concerns you there, Pastor Rohde?
The little word if. If is a soul killer. He says, if you stay in faith, you will see favor that makes your life easier. Now, as a side note, think about that. When does Jesus ever promise his disciples that their lives will get easier? I know he says to them, I send you as sheep amidst wolves. I know he says to them, you must take up your cross and follow me. And a cross means suffering and death. If you stay in the faith, you will see favor that makes your life easier, Osteen says. If you have faith, if you have given, if you have served, that word if makes it all conditioned upon you. And that's not grace, by the way. That's meriting or earning God's payday. If you do X, he will give you Y. So here's the question, and it's a pastoral question. What happens to a person who follows Joel Osteen and material blessings do come? Well, you can pat yourself on the back and say, guess I've been faithful. Guess my giving and serving have gotten God's attention. Payday has come my way. I've gotten exactly what I've earned and what I deserve. If blessings do come, you see what this does? This turns us into self-righteous people. Now, if earthly blessings don't come, especially if they don't come for someone else, what do we think? Guess that poor sucker wasn't as faithful as I was. He didn't give or serve enough, evidently. Must not have earned his payday. Lord God, thank you that I am not like this other man. Well, such a person who could speak these words, Jesus says, is not justified. So then again, think about it this way. What if you are the one who is not getting blessed? Despite all your positive thinking, despite all your positive speaking and all your declarations, the blessings aren't coming. What are you going to think? That you must not have genuine faith, or at least not the sort of faith that God cares to reward. You must not have given enough or served enough, or if you did, they simply weren't pleasing enough to God. You get no payday. So maybe God doesn't actually love you. Maybe you don't really believe. Maybe you're no true child of God at all. So you see, either way this works out, it ends up being poisonous for the soul. It leads Christians, Osteen's theology leads Christians into one of two places. Either to a place where they may boast in self-righteousness, that their faithfulness has earned the blessings, their great faith has earned God's payday, or they come to doubt the genuineness of God's love and the genuineness of their faith, and they fall into despair and unbelief. This is where Osteen's theology is not only spiritually deadly, it's murderous to souls.
We'll be right back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org, click support, and publicize your congregation to the world.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains 4 lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, I Declare. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. He's pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Before the break, we listened to Joel Osteen with his conditional, his qualified if, again and again and again. Here's another example where Joel, in his book, I Declare, says, if you stay in faith, not only will life get easier, you're not going to die.
But if you'll stay in faith and just keep speaking to the mountain, declaring it gone, declaring yourself healthy, blessed, victorious, one day, all of a sudden, you will see that mountain has been removed. God will supernaturally do for you what you could not do for yourself. This is what happened with my mother. She was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 1981. She spent 21 days in the hospital. She came home. She and my father went to their bedroom, got on their knees. They not only prayed and asked God to heal her, but they spoke to that cancer and commanded it to leave.
Now, you talked earlier about this condition of if you stay in faith, being soul-killing. This kind of ramps it up to a whole new level, doesn't it, Pastor Rohde?
Well, it absolutely does. I mean, here you just see how absolutely tragic it is. Take this theology into the hospital room at the deathbed of someone you love and tell them what Joel has just said. Tell them, if you will stay in the faith, if you will speak against this mountain, if you will declare that death has no dominion over you, then you will live, just like Joel's mother did. So do this and you will live. Now, not only is that disastrous for the person on their deathbed, it's disastrous for everyone else who witnesses this. And think about the implication, too. If that's true, if you can speak death away at will, then why can't you speak death away at will on and on and on? Every single illness, every single old age, every single day that death looms up, just speak against it, it'll go away. You'll live forever.
You may feel like there are too many obstacles between you and your God-given destiny. You are standing exactly where David stood. It's not enough to just pray about it. It's not enough to just believe that you're going to get better. Now more than ever, you need to declare, mountain of debt, mountain of addiction, mountain of depression, it may look like it's over, but I'm here to serve you notice. This is not the end. You will not defeat me. You come against me with natural weapons, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I know when I call on the name of Jesus, all the forces of heaven come to attention. So I declare you are removed. I will live and not die. I am blessed and I cannot be cursed. I am a victor and never a victim.
I don't know how old Joe Osteen is, but it sounds like he's making a claim that he's going to outlive us all.
Yeah, he looks young and healthy, and I expect if his theology is true, he'll stay that way forever. Did you catch what he said? I will live and not die. So we can expect then that neither Joel nor his mother nor anyone else who has enough faith and enough powerful declarations will ever die. They can command cancer to leave. They can command anything else to leave. They can simply declare, I will live and not die. I think we ought to hold Joel to his words. If his theology is true, we can expect him to live forever, declaring away every illness that befalls him. But the day he dies, every single one of his books ought to go in the trash bins. We've got to think about the implications of this theology of his. Think about the 7-year-old boy dying of cancer. Think about the rape victim crying herself to sleep. Think about the genocide orphan starving in Sudan. Osteen once wrote, I think on Twitter, your life will always follow your thoughts. If you always think positive, you'll be positive. Not only is Osteen's theology false, it is obscene.
Now, one follow-up on that before we move on to the next part of your concerns, and that is, it goes back to leaving Jesus out. If you leave Jesus out, then God is a provider in this life only, more or less. And the only way a Christian can say the words, as Scripture does, I will live and not die, is if he is thinking in terms of Jesus' death and resurrection, and therefore his own resurrection.
Absolutely. And you keep waiting for Joel to bring that up. You keep waiting, though you die, yet shall you live. You keep waiting for him to speak the words of Jesus and to remind us that just as Jesus is risen in his body because of his atoning death and his resurrection, we too will rise in our bodies, bodies made perfect and incorruptible. You keep waiting and hoping that he's going to go there. But just as he edited Jesus out of so many other Christ-centered passages, here Jesus is nowhere to be found either.
Okay, your other concern is that Osteen's theology, in a lot of places in the book I declare, resembles paganism.
But too many people go around thinking, well, I wish I was blessed. I wish I had favor. No, you've got to reprogram your thinking. It says in Psalms that God has already crowned you with favor. You may not realize it, but there's a crown on your head right now. It's not a crown of defeat, of lack, of mediocrity. It is a crown of God's favor. If you are to activate that favor, you must get in agreement with God by declaring, I do have favor.
This is really the heart of his theology, and how is it that you say it resembles paganism?
Well, there again you have the if word. If you are to activate that favor, you must get in agreement with God by declaring, I do have favor. So now, take the facade away, toss the sprig of Jesus garnished on the side, get rid of it, and consider the real substance, the deeper structure of Osteen's theology, and I declare. He says, if you are to activate God's favor, you must get in agreement with God by declaring, I do have favor. Now, where have we heard this before? Isn't this the essence of every man-made religion? How do you activate God's favor? How do we get the rains to fall on our crops? What ritual do we have to do to get God to bless us? Fertility rituals, dance in a certain way, sacrifice certain animals, sacrifice our children. What do we have to do to activate God's favor and get more blessings from him? This is the essence of all paganism. And this is precisely the deeper structure of Osteen's religion from his own mouth. How do you activate God's favor and get more of his blessings? Osteen just has a different answer than classic paganism. Not with fertility rites or dances or sacrifices. What you really have to do to activate God's favor, Osteen says, is to declare. Positive declarations. That is the secret. That is the way to activate God's favor so that he will make the rain fall on your crops or money rain into your bank account. So you see, in its deeper structure, Osteen's theology is essentially just warmed over paganism, garnished with a sprig of Jesus on the side.
So we've talked about it quite a bit here, and you have laid it up against Osteen's theology as the reality that he essentially wants to declare or really deny, and that is human suffering. Here's Osteen on suffering and its cause.
I declare everything that doesn't line up with God's vision for my life is subject to change. Sickness, trouble, lack, mediocrity are not permanent. They are only temporary. I will not be moved by what I see, but by what I know. I am a victor and never a victim. I will become all God's created me to be. This is my declaration.
So is he saying, Pastor Rohde, that God's vision for my life, your life, his life, does not include suffering at all?
Right. All of this is subject to change. It's not part of God's vision for my life, or what he otherwise calls God's dream for my life, which I have no idea what that means. But for Osteen, suffering and God's vision for my life don't match up. God is not the cause of suffering. God is always against my suffering. And while I think many people today hold this view, the scriptures actually teach something quite different, quite radical. For example, in Romans 8:20, there's this that Paul writes, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Look what Paul says. He, God, subjected creation to futility. Track that back, as Paul does, to Genesis 3. It is God who speaks the curse into existence and causes the suffering to befall Adam, Eve, and their sinful progeny, which includes us. So sickness, trouble, mediocrity, even death itself, all these come from God's hand. Listen to what Jeremiah writes in Lamentations chapter 3:4 and the following verses. He writes, "He, that is God, has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. The prophet goes on and on in this way. God is the one who afflicts us. So the psalmist prays in Psalm 90, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble." That God is the cause of our suffering and affliction is proclaimed throughout all the scriptures. God is not the cause of sin, and I want to make sure that we understand that point. God is not the cause of sin, but he does cause suffering and affliction and even death as a punishment for sin. Now, our Lutheran forefathers know of this too, and so they write of the law of God that it requires obedience to God in death and all afflictions, so that we do not flee or avoid these things, now get this, when God imposes them. So here's the real problem. We can't do our theology by way of analyzing the suffering and blessing in our lives. We can't look at this and say, therefore God loves me, therefore God hates me. It's so much more complex than that. And the scriptures lead us into this. Why do the rains fall on both the good and the evil alike? There are so many questions like this that we need more clarity.
And we'll get more clarity on the other side of the break as we review Joel Osteen's latest book, I Declare. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Jeremy Rohde is our guest another 10 minutes on this Friday afternoon, October the 19th, reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, I Declare. Pastor Rohde, pick up where you left off. You were talking about the real problem is we can't do theology by analyzing the sufferings and the blessings in our lives.
Yes, and we always try to do theology that way. I'm suffering. God must hate me or be angry with me. I'm blessed. God must love me or be happy with something I've done. The scriptures confound this all. For example, why do the rains fall on the good and the evil alike? Why do the wicked prosper? Why are the faithful afflicted and grieved? What does it mean that you're afflicted? Does it mean that God hates you? He afflicts all his people, not least of which his own son, Jesus. What does it mean that you are blessed? Does it mean that God loves you? Scripture says some whom he blesses, he is merely fattening like cattle for the day of slaughter. So here's the truth, and here's what the Bible is trying to do. It's trying to confound our way of trying to do theology by analyzing suffering and blessing. The truth is, you cannot know God's attitude toward you through suffering or blessing. You can't know if he is graciously disposed toward you or if he is full of wrath toward you. This is an aspect of what Luther calls the Deus Absconditus, the hidden God. God hides himself from man so that in blessing and in affliction, we cannot know what he really means by it. If we want to know God's attitude toward us, we have to look elsewhere. The Scriptures force us to look elsewhere. This is the Deus Revelatus, the revealed God. Where and where only does God reveal himself? Now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Only in Jesus, only in the crucified one, can we know for certain God's attitude toward us. Not in blessing or cursing that we experience, not in blessing or suffering, only in his Son, only in the cross. We can look nowhere else. And then, and only then, with our eyes on the cross, can we begin to perceive both our afflictions and our blessings as coming from the hand of the gracious Father and God. Now, this is deep theology, but it is profoundly important for our everyday lives and how we perceive the afflictions and blessings that God sends us.
Okay, so just for fun and to round off this conversation, I want you to compare and contrast Osteen's declarations with Psalm 38.
I declare I will speak only positive words of faith and victory over myself, my family, and my future.
Psalm 38, Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness.
I will not use my words to describe the situation. I will use my words to change my situation.
Psalm 38. I am greatly troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart.
I will call in favor, good breaks, healing, and restoration.
Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand far off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long.
I will not talk to God about how big my problems are. I will talk to my problems about how big my God is.
Psalm 38, but I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth there is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips they exalt themselves over me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me.
This is my declaration.
Psalm 38. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation.
Pastor Rohde, it's a stark contrast. What's the difference between Joel Osteen's declarations and the clear testimony of God's Word about those who live under God's favor in Jesus Christ?
Joel Osteen attempts to outholy the Holy Spirit. Through the psalmist, the Holy Spirit does the exact opposite of what Osteen tells us to do. He's titled his book, I Declare. But as we just heard, the psalmist says, I too declare. He says, I will declare my iniquity. Osteen never even mentions sin in his book. The psalmist says, I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. O God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. You see, our real problem is not a lack of blessings, and the real solution is not making declarations to get more stuff. Our real problem is sin, from which we cannot free ourselves. The only real solution is Jesus. So Paul determines to preach a gospel of how to activate God's favor and get more goodies from God. Nope. Paul determines to preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. It is Christ alone who has activated God's favor for us. According to John, Jesus' apostle and one of the most beloved pastors in the New Testament, sin is the ongoing problem in your life. What you need is God's continual and ongoing forgiveness. You need to have Jesus as your pastor right now. You need to hear His present tense forgiveness. Again and again, you need to have Him create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus teaches us that if we listen to His faithful pastors, we are actually listening to Him. When the pastor preaches the cross into your ears, when he absolves you of your sins, when he puts the sacrament into your lips and says, for you, Jesus Himself is speaking to you. The very thing you need is the very thing Jesus is. Not only is He the one who bore your sins in His own body on the tree, He is also, Peter says, the shepherd, the pastor, and bishop of your soul. I declare. It's not your declarations that matter. It's His declarations to you. He declares that it is finished. He declares you righteous. He declares, go in peace, your sins are forgiven.
So as a final thought here, Pastor Rohde, is it really that simple that when I sit down to read Joel Osteen's book, I Declare, Joel replaces Jesus with me? About a minute here.
You have it exactly right. And lo and behold, imagine it, that we, as fallen, curved in on ourselves, egotistical human beings, would supplant Jesus and put ourselves there and our pious declarations as if these were the center of the universe, when in fact, thanks be to God, we are not the center of the universe. Christ Jesus is. His mercy and His declarations are all that matters. And that is what creates in us a clean heart and renews in us a right spirit. The word and declaration of Jesus spoken to us every time His gospel is preached. That's what we need in this dark and desperate hour, and that's what we need for our health and well-being now and for all eternity.
Pastor Jeremy Rohde is pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. Pastor Rohde, it has been a great pleasure. Thank you for your time and your effort in reviewing Joel Osteen's book.
Thanks for having me on. I love the opportunity, and I hope it's helpful to people.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. You have membership benefits that include books, broadcast transcripts, t-shirts, and advertising for your congregation. That's a big one. Find out more at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for that picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Click there, and you'll find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, next week is Reformation Week on Issues Etc. We're going to be studying five hymns penned by the reformer Martin Luther. It's going to be a big week. Make sure you tune in next week for Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. I can't think of anything more tragic than the most popular pastor in the United States who writes best-selling book after best-selling book with the same message. You don't need Jesus. Can you think of anything more tragic than that? That the biggest megachurch is being built and is growing exponentially every year on that message. A message that needs no Jesus. That replaces God's declaration of you righteous in Jesus Christ with your declaration of the dainties of this world. Whatever it is you want, whatever it is you think you need, you just speak. And if you speak with enough conviction and enough quote-unquote faith, faith in who? In your own declaration, in you, then you'll get it. And if you don't, well, just as the solution and the salvation for your situation is found in you, according to Joel Osteen, if you don't get it, the problem is you. Now, how different is that than the many, the thousands, the countless churches where pastors continue to declare God's law? Yes, the problem is you from the very beginning, your sin and the death that it will inevitably bring to you as its wages, and then declares the death of Jesus for you. Jesus taking the wages of sin for you and declaring you by his blood on the cross, righteous, forgiven, and God's own child. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.